TheBook.com.
Hello again, everybody. Thank you for joining me on Football Fridays with Joe D'Amico. I'm Adam Burke, the host of the podcast content here at Bang the Book. Happy to have another Friday edition here with Joe. Joe, how's it going today, buddy?
Oh, Adam, absolutely incredible. Beautiful day in Vegas. We're going to have 90-plus degrees over the next 2 weeks every day. We've got college football. We've got pro football. We've got MLB playoffs. And guess what's right around the corner? Regular season NBA, as the preseason has already started. I'll tell you what, this is just a very exciting time of the year here in Vegas.
Yeah, October's a great month. NHL starting as well. You're about a month away from college basketball, so a lot of things going on. You mentioned the MLB playoffs already. How are you holding up with those?
You know, the first couple games, Adam, I really didn't move on anything, only because I wanted to watch. Well, the one-game playoff situations, I really didn't move on. And I didn't move on anything yesterday, only because I wanted to see how some of these teams I don't want to say they took their feet off the gas the last few weeks or whatnot, but let's see how some of these teams match up against each other. As you know, I was on a 20-something and 5 run in baseball going into the postseason, and I put up a special package right here on Bang the Book, by the way. They get my entire postseason for, like, less than the price of one big play. It's absolutely incredible. But today I have my first few games going in baseball. I'm very excited about them.
As you should be. I know that you've got a football card that you're very excited about. Before we get into that, make sure that you go into the iTunes store, download the Bang the Book app for your iPod, Touch, iPad, and iPhone, Mock Sports Book, and Odd Screen Access Store articles, all kinds of great stuff in that. And we've got podcasts throughout the week, College Football Podcast, Gridiron Gambling Report, my Bettors Box, MLB Podcast, all kinds of stuff going on at Bang the Book. So please make sure that you're checking all of that out. Joe, we're about to be 6 weeks into the college football regular season, although I guess it already started on Thursday night. Any big surprises for you thus far?
You know, I'll be honest with you. There were a couple of teams that I don't want to say overachieved, and a couple of teams that underachieved the first few weeks, as is expected. I think things kind of came back full circle this past week. I know that we talked about Alabama last week, and a lot of people went against Alabama. I think a few things came full circle, came back around after a couple of surprises, week one, week two, week three, and I think things are going to get more back into the norm right now. Fewer surprises the next month. I think that they're very sharp lines this week on this college football slate, but I'll tell you what, I think things go back to the norm over the next month.
I noticed that about this week, too. I haven't really seen a whole lot of games where I think that there's too big of an edge. The odds makers obviously getting better at this, and that's not really a big surprise. I mean, as I said, we're into week six now, conference play going on. There's more of a history between these teams, have a better idea of who these teams are. And I thought it was interesting, the couple plays that you sent over for the show today, one of them being Georgia. And Georgia did not play well against Alabama last week, did not play well at all. The thing about it is, being on the opposite side of Alabama, being in the SEC East, it's not like Georgia's season is over by any means.
Oh, absolutely not. And, I'll touch base on my prediction in their game this week. But, no, not by a long shot. I understand this, top 10 teams, there's several top 10 teams that have a loss already, or there's several top 10 teams that are going to be facing off against each other over the next 4 to 6 weeks. That don't have a loss yet. So, it is very conceivable that anybody going to the playoff at the end of the season can conceivably have a loss. So I'm not worried about that at all. Georgia's season is far from over.
Yeah, and, Alabama, we were kind of expecting, and this is what we talked about on last week's show, we were expecting Alabama to come to the forefront and prove who they really are. And, Nick Saban, he was very animated in the media this week talking about how everyone had the Crimson Tide dead and buried, and then they went out there and dominated Georgia. And, I think that's kind of a motivating factor for Georgia this week to where, hey, we ran into a really good team that had been struggling, but we're still a really good team. And they go and take on Tennessee in Knoxville. SEC East division game here, so quite a bit on the line. But, you know, before we get into to how you like Georgia, let's talk about Tennessee here for a minute, because Tennessee was kind of a darling in the betting community leading up to the season, and they've been a big disappointment so far.
Oh, they have. You know, playing in the in this conference, you know, it's very easy to be a disappointment for, I don't want to say the lower tier, but if you're not in the top two or three teams in the conference, in the perspective East or West SEC. But I'll be honest with you, yes, you know, I know that a lot of preseason predictions or preseason prognosticators did like Tennessee to over the win total and rode there, because they've been good traditionally against the number, and they've really disappointed a lot of bettors lately.
Yeah, they really have, and, you know, I think one of the reasons that you're going to be in on Georgia in this game, and that is your pick for this week, you do like the Georgia Bulldogs, seeing mostly three across the market. It was in the 2.5 range, but most of those have kind of gone away now. If you catch one, make sure you get it now, because, you know, it won't be there for long. But, you know, there are a lot of things working in Georgia's favor in this game, aren't there?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, as you touched upon a minute or two ago, after a huge conference loss to Alabama this week, Georgia will regroup here as Heisman candidate Nick Chubb, I feel, will have no problem at all achieving his 14th straight 100-plus yard performance against a very thinned-out Tennessee defense. That, to me, has shown signs of serious late-game weaknesses over the last month or so. You know, the Bulldogs' D will force quarterback Dobbs to air it out and turn the ball over. One of my predictions here is they're going to force several turnovers on Tennessee this week. Georgia will. UT, 0-4 against them in the last four conference games. As you mentioned before, the Georgia season is far from over. They had a loss last week against arguably one of the best teams, not arguably, one of the best teams in the country. There's no way that they should be down about that. Alabama did play well. That's neither here nor there right now. But they're with a big win here, they get back on track, a big ego boost, back in the playoff hunt. In this series, straight up, UGA has taken the last five meetings. Tennessee, just horrible in conference play against the number, crushing bettors, 0-4 the last four conference games, and 4-11 against the number the last 15 games against teams with a winning record. Let me put it this way. When they step up in class, they are outclassed. Let me just leave it at that. I know that there's mostly threes around. I don't think this is going to be in the ballpark. I think Georgia wins this game easily by 10 or more points.
Well, you mentioned Tennessee in the fourth quarter, and opponents are converting 48% of their third down opportunities against this Tennessee defense in the fourth quarter this year. And one of the things I think that we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about for this game is the coaching situation. Mark Richt, a guy that, you know, he tends to have Georgia in some compromising spots throughout the season, but nothing compared to what Butch Jones has done to Tennessee this year, where his clock management has been terrible, his decision-making has been terrible. And if you're not handicapping coaches, then, you know, you may want to pick a different hobby.
Oh, I agree with you. You know, we've seen, and you know what? We've seen this poor coaching performances in college ranks this season, I believe, more than I can remember up to this point, the first month and change, than over entire seasons of late. I'll be honest with you. There's been a lot of poor coaching in the college ranks, and you and I discussed privately off the air, you know, the difference between coaching in college, coaching in the pros, that in the pros, you know, so much in, listen, the coach's prowess and coach's you see the coach's success affect a game in preparation, not so much on game day in college. It's a lot more prevalent that coaches affect the game while the game's in play so much more significantly in the college ranks. And we've seen a lot of bad decision-making this year up to date. I really agree with you.
Well, I think it's interesting that one of your games you've got a bounce-back team, and there should be a team in a bounce-back position here in this game that's going to be on NBC 3:30 for us on the East Coast. The game between Navy and Notre Dame. Notre Dame coming off of a very tough loss to Clemson last week on the road. Weather, of course, played a factor in that game. But now they take on one of these service academies that runs the triple option. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I'll be honest with you. We watched as we do every week for the last millennium, Notre Dame on NBC. We watched Notre Dame shoot themselves in the foot last week with turnovers, a failed two-point conversion, and in the 24-22 loss to Clemson. To me, I'm going to be honest with you. They're showing me that they still can't get it done when it comes down to crunch time. Navy is 4-0 straight up and against the number and covered last year's meeting despite an unusually poor performance from triple option maestro, and I'm going to tag that line, triple option maestro Keenan Reynolds. I'll be honest with you. I know some prognosticators said, well, Notre Dame isn't going to be taken off guard with Navy's triple option because they've already faced Georgia Tech. But, Adam, in all sincerity, no team in this nation runs the triple option quite like Navy does. Averaging over 339 yards per game on the ground. And they can pass off the run, too. It's not like they can't pass. They're also very, very good at stopping the run, which, if the Irish has any chance in this game, they need to establish the run in this game, which I think they're going to have a problem. You know, their premier back, C.J. Process, he had a really... we're on podcast. We had a really crappy game last week. 15 carries, 50 yards rushing, period. The thing is Navy runs that triple option. They use up a lot of clock. They keep defenses on the field. I think that's going to be a huge edge here for the midshipmen as the running game of Navy and process specifically is not going to get enough time on the field to get in sync, to get a rhythm. I'll be honest with you, Notre Dame, 3-8, this is great, I love this stat, 3-8 against the spread, the last 11 as a double-digit favorite, midshipman, 9-1 against the spread, the last 10 games played in South Bend. I'm going to tell you, especially with that hook of 14.5, I'm going to tell you, listeners, if there was a big dog this week that has a chance to win outright, I'm gonna throw my hat in the ring and say Navy does. I think Navy can catch them off guard, but especially plus the points, especially plus the two touchdowns. And if you get that hook and there are 14.5 around, God, you got to love that this week, guys. I really like that a lot, Adam.
Well, and you mentioned it already that Notre Dame last week, you know, they really shot themselves in the foot. They seemed to be in control of that game against Clemson for the most part. I mean, they had a little bit of a slow start. They were the better team throughout the majority of that game, but they hurt themselves. And that's one thing that Navy and most of the service academies, it's one thing that they don't do. Ken Niumatalolo's team does not hurt itself. The service academies are regularly one of the least penalized teams in college football. You know, they have some fumble issues at times because, you know, that's what happens when you run the football, but you know, they tend to not turn the ball over a whole lot. They will not beat themselves. And when you're getting that many points with a team like that, you know, of course, that's something that's really attractive.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. Especially Navy, you know, obviously they keep the ball on the ground so much that they use up such a large amount of clock. You know, and to quote, you mentioned about Notre Dame and shooting themselves in the foot. To me, you know, any team can run up stats. Hey, we see teams in the pros right now in the NFL that are undefeated or have one loss. And be honest with you, they didn't hit the heart of the schedule yet, and there's a good chance they'll be under 500, a lot of these teams, by the end of the season. And to quote one of my favorite films, The Original Gambler with James Caan, they don't pay at halftime, Axel. Let me tell you, the true sign of a good team is when they can finish. Listen, there's going to be competition on this level in every game, okay? And let me tell you, if you can't finish, if you can't knock your opponent out when you got him on the ropes or he's been down twice in that round, you have an issue. And Notre Dame just traditionally and time again just doesn't have what it takes to finish up. And with the fact that Navy uses so much clock, I'm going to tell you right now, getting that 14.5, I feel, is a gift this week.
Navy's covered the last two meetings. And, oh, by the way, Notre Dame hosts USC next weekend. So it could also be a little bit of a look-ahead spot for the Fighting Irish. We'll transition over to the NFL game now. Talk about a couple of games that you like here with the professionals. And you know, the one that I found most interesting, actually, because it's a game where I'm on the other side, or at least that's the way I'm going right now, is Denver and New England. Or not Denver and New England. Denver and Oakland. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Denver, 4.5-point chalk going to Oakland. You like the favorite in this game.
I do, Adam. I want you to know, this Denver team is a very good team. And it seems like all we've heard about from exhibition season up until their last game is how Peyton Manning's skills are fading. How Peyton Manning's skills are fading. He doesn't have what he wants at. He doesn't have the arm strength. He can't come out. You know what? This team is still 4-0. They're still winning. He is still finding a way to win ball games. And on top of everything, it doesn't hurt that they own the top defensive squad in the NFL yardage-wise. They've won and covered both of their away games this season. They come into this meeting taking the last 7, both straight up and against the spread in this series. Now, the Raiders D, I think you would admit, the Raiders D has basically been a doormat. And you know what? And just I just want to – not that I want to, not wishful thinking. I really feel Denver's the right side. But – from my own personal point of view, this is just what the doctor ordered to hush up all the naysayers saying Peyton Manning don't have it anymore. It's going to be a big ego boost. Listen, Oakland, they're still a work in progress. We all know that. But they've been a work in progress for the last decade. They really are. Their defense is – oh, my God. I'll tell you what. Their defense is just getting – embarrassed week in and week out. Doesn't matter if you can rush the ball, if you could pass the ball. Either way, they're giving up points. They're giving up points to opponents in the red zone. You know, huge, huge thing. They are, by the way, the Broncos, I love this, 4-0 against the spread, the last 4 games played in Oakland. I think this game is actually going to get out of hand. Now, this is the first that I am told that you like the other side. We can make a personal wager on this if you want, Adam, just for fun or whatnot, a dinner, a beer, you know, 10,000. No, I'm kidding. We can make a personal bet on this just for entertainment, for me and you and for our own listeners. If you want, I do think at 4.5, I'll tell you what, I liked it at 5 or 5.5. This 4.5 run, I like it even more now.
I don't know. We'll have to figure something out the next time I come out to Vegas. There are two questions that I want to bring up for you here, kind of devil's advocate points to play the other side.
Sure.
One of them here, Oakland's head coach, Jack Del Rio, was the defensive coordinator in Denver last year. Now, Denver, different offensive scheme. Adam Gase and John Fox are both in Chicago. But Jack Del Rio knows the weaknesses of the players on offense for Denver, doesn't he? Is that a concern for you?
You know what? I will tell you this. This, you know, with Wade Phillips there, this is a different Denver team that plays different Denver schemes. And Phillips, knowing that Jack Del Rio is familiar with this unit, I think I have a few things in store for the Raiders this week. I really do. I understand your point of view, and it's a valid point of view. But with Wade Phillips there, I'll be honest with you, he knows that. He's taking that into consideration. He's going to throw some new stuff at this Raider offense this week. I'm going to guarantee that.
All right, and the other question, I mean, this is sort of more of a theory in college football, where you've kind of got that big brother theory where, you know, you've got, like last week, you had Middle Tennessee State playing Vanderbilt. You know, they're not separated by that big of a distance. Middle Tennessee State had a chance to beat an SEC opponent. They wound up not being able to finish it off. It's not completely similar in the NFL because these are all professionals, but this is Oakland taking on Denver, who's been the class of this division. You know, maybe you don't think there's a little bit of a look past factor for Denver, whereas Oakland, you know, gets a chance to beat the biggest bully on the block?
I understand your point of view, and you know what? It makes a lot of sense, and being the handicappers that we are and the prognosticators that we are, we have to take things like that into consideration. Right here, though, I think that class among people rule, and I think that Denver is just too good for this team. Listen, no other team that Oakland has faced has their defense been able to put up, wow, any sort of competition. They're getting walked on, I'll be honest with you. Me, you, 9 other middle-aged, over-the-hill, out-of-shape guys could fill in there, and we couldn't do any worse for the Raiders. I honestly think this. I don't think there's – I think that Denver and specifically Peyton Manning – is cognizant. They're aware of what the gossip is, that Peyton Manning don't have it anymore. They just don't have it. They can't score. But you know what? I think they'll take that. I think that is a gimme, and I think that's feeding them right now. You know, regardless of what people want to say about the Broncos, I've seen Peyton Manning several times late in the game in fourth quarter have some good drives. He commanded his team, got into the red zone, got into the end zone. I think that they're taking each game one day at a time. I think right now, being the fact that that maybe Peyton Manning what it once was, I think that's motivating them to take each game one at a time, because maybe they feel that if that they're the Super Bowl contender that they were a few years ago, and makes them that much better for it.
I guess the last point to make here, and I want to see if you agree with me on this, is that if you can't make a case to bet the other side, then you shouldn't bet the game. Do you agree with that?
I agree that I respect your point of view, but I will tell you this. I never, as a bettor and a handicapper, never look at a game and say, well, if I can't bet this way, then I shouldn't bet the game. Then just don't play it. My point of view. Because if you don't like something that strongly, there's a lot better games on the board. If you don't think that girl in the bar is that pretty, trust me, there'll be one prettier around the corner coming in 2 minutes that's a higher-rated girl. Let me put it that way. If I don't like something, I don't like it. I won't play it by default or play one side or another by default. I really feel Denver is – I feel they are statistically the better team. They have been the class of the conference of the division, and they keep winning. They cover. I like the number here.
Right, and the other game that you sent me over, it's kind of interesting because you like the same two teams that you talked about last week. So this one being Arizona, and I thought it would lead to a pretty good discussion. I know you said that you've got a couple of other games that you liked on different teams to talk about something else, but. To use these same teams a second straight week, I find fascinating because, to me, it suggests that you don't think that the odds makers have adjusted enough.
You know what? I think that they are they're looking to put a trap on some of the – I think that a lot of the general public, they feel is going to fall for a trap this week. This line is 2.5 in this game. Arizona, to me, along with Green Bay – as far as what I've seen, I'm not going to say exactly every play and wins and losses. What I've seen to date in the NFL, right now there are no teams playing on the level of Arizona and Green Bay in the NFC. That's my opinion, okay? And they did lose last week. St. Louis caught them. I'm going to give St. Louis credit. They caught them. They match up with them well. They played them right. But I feel, you know, we look at the Lions here. Guys, you know, they're obviously missing Dumoukan Sue and a couple of the guys that they had on their defense a few years ago. This is a team that's 0-4 straight up. They're crushing followers and bettors, 1-3 against the number on the season. They come off a short week on top of that, playing Monday night. And let's face it, the offensive line's got issues. The offensive unit is absolutely deplorable. You know, I read a blurb on them, and there was an article. I read the first two sentences and stopped reading it because first two sentences said it all. Their offense almost scored a TD. Well, their offense almost scored a TD. You know, when analyses and write-ups and articles are saying when your offense almost got a TD. Well, I almost played center for the Los Angeles Lakers last season, but I'm 46 years old and I'm 5'7". There's no way I'm going to play for the Lakers. I'll be honest with you. This is a very bad offensive unit. They average 16.5 points a game. They rank dead last in the NFL on the ground. And let me tell you something. I'm a firm believer. I know that the whole NFL game has changed over the years, and what commentators always say, it's a passing game now. I'm a firm belief, because I'm a product of the 70s and 80s, old regime. Let me tell you, the only two things Coach Joe Gibbs of the Washington Redskins and Coach Bill Parcells of Giant and other teams always agreed upon, there's two things you need to do to get to the postseason in the NFL. You need to be able to run the ball. You need to be able to stop the run. And let me tell you something. If you can't run the ball, and they are not running the ball at all, Detroit. I mean, gone are the days of Barry Sanders. I'm going to tell you now. I'll be honest with you. If you can't run the ball, A, defenses can. B, your quarterback is going to try to force things and make mistakes. And C, I'll be honest with you, you just cannot keep your defense. If you can't run the ball, you're keeping your when you run the ball, you keep your defense off the field for a significant amount of time. Their defense is getting tired because their offense is not eating up any clock. And let's face it, Arizona was perfect before last week's loss to St. Louis. But sometimes I feel a setback is just what a team needs to expose any flaws. And with this coaching staff, believe me, they will be better for it. Arizona, running back Chris Johnson, he's going to continue to thrive, and he's going to allow. I mean, Carson Palmer is now a gunslinger. We talked about him on last week's broadcast about, you know, when he first came up, as it can compare to how successful he's been with Arizona, and he's a smart quarterback. He's a good quarterback. But I feel that too many people take for granted that he is just a throwing quarterback. Now that they've got Chris Johnson running the ball successfully, that also allows Carson Palmer to open up this very dangerous air attack even more. Couple of against the spread numbers, Cards 5-1 against the spread, the last six meetings in the series. Get this number. Arizona 20-8 against the number overall, their last 28 contests. I'm going to tell you this. I've got this team winning by six or more, and right now it's 2.5. I'm going to tell you, under a field goal. Guys, take Arizona and run. Run, look over your shoulder like you stole something, because you're going to get away with theft here this week.
Yeah, and that Arizona team just 1-for-5 in the red zone in terms of scoring touchdowns last week. So it's not like they played all that bad when they lost to St. Louis. They just didn't cash in with their scoring opportunities. Also, I think Arizona catches a little bit of a break because this is a 4 o'clock East Coast kickoff as opposed to a 1 o'clock. Sometimes those Western teams have some issues with those early games. And the last thing I'll ask you about here with this game is, you know, Detroit's 0-4, and people are starting to throw around that must-win label for this game. What do you think about that narrative that the media draws up?
Well, I think that any time you look at anything and say, because this hasn't happened, the opposite must happen. Well, because I haven't hit the lottery, the mega bucks here in Vegas over the last 25 years, I must win it this week. Because my wife only cheated on me 114 times over the years, I think she must be faithful now. I'm going to tell our listeners right now, I'm not a doofer factor guy. I'm not a must-win situation guy. I go home with the one who brought me in. Right or wrong, I'm not a Monday morning quarterback. I tell it like it is. If I excuse my language, but crap the bed, I'll tell everybody I crap the bed. But a champion takes it on the chin, gets back up, and keeps fighting. I'm going to be honest with you. I go home with the one that brung me. The doofer factor doesn't work for me. Just because a team is due doesn't mean they're going to get their due.
All right, Joe, I think you had a lot of great thoughts today. 4 very strong opinions from you. Anything else you want to add to today's show?
2 things. Number one, first of all, Adam, we don't get a chance to really BS here. You know, socially, we kind of stick to the facts. Know something. That being that I'm working, we've always talked and respected one another, but being over the last month and a half that you and I have been working together on air, I've always respected you, but I think our callers should be aware of how sharp you are when it comes to technical aspects of handicapping games. You have a different way than a lot of people that are handicappers in this business, and our listeners need to take advantage of that and listen to you. I know that I'm loud, obnoxious, I'm entertaining, I'm charismatic, I'm like a used car salesman, but I want our listeners to know that they need to listen to you, because even me, and I am the be-all, end-all, I know everything. I know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I've learned some things listening to you on air, working with you the past 4 or 5 weeks on this show. Our listeners need to listen to you, too, because you have a very technical point of view, and that's why you're very successful. Second thing I want to say, listeners, there's a reason why when you're sick, you go to a doctor. When your car breaks down, you go to a good mechanic. Listen, come to people like Adam, myself, the other professional handicappers. I'd bang the book, and you will stay in the plus column. Let me tell you guys, all you guys need to do is come to Bang the Book, listen to us, and collect every week. Enough said, guys.
Well, thanks, Joe. I really appreciate those kind words. It means a lot to come from somebody that you know, has been around this business, has dealt with a lot of people in it, and to hear you put me up there with you know, some of the people that you've associated with throughout the years, I really, really appreciate it. Again, please, everybody, everything that's going on at Bang the Book is worth your time. College Football Podcast, Gridiron Gambling Report, myself and Cole Ryan in the Super Contest. Check that out. All of our article content, everything at Bang the Book is outstanding. Thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. Joe D'Amico, I'm Adam Burke. Have a successful weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week.
Good luck, everybody. Have a